Welcome back to the CTO Playbook, the podcast dedicated to helping CTOs excel. In this episode, I'm speaking to Rob Kalvarowski about how tech leaders can truly capitalize on chaos. Rob shares his journey from high-achieving engineer to world-renowned leadership coach, and we explore how inner doubts, hidden masks, and moments of chaos can actually spark our biggest transformations. We unpack his FIRE method for rapid leadership growth and share personal stories about facing imposter syndrome, navigating major career shifts, and finding clarity through uncertainty. If you've ever felt stuck or wondered what's next for your leadership journey, this episode is one you won't want to miss. I'm Adam Horner, your host. As a coach to CTOs from startups through to large enterprises, I guide tech leaders away from the constant churn of firefighting and towards confident, strategic leadership anchored in clarity and purpose. Through practical, personalized coaching, I address the specific leadership challenges within each organization, helping CTOs shift from reactive fixes to deliberate, forward-thinking action. I help them chart their own path to growth, delegate with greater confidence, and truly become trusted and respected peers within the executive leadership team. This podcast is my way of bringing some of the most effective leadership playbooks to you, to the many CTOs who want to deepen their capabilities. With the help of my guests, we explore critical leadership topics and share insights you can immediately put into practice to refine your own CTO playbook. Rob, it's wonderful to have you on the show. It's not very often that I get somebody who's headlined and keynoted a TEDx conversation. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm excited to be here.
And so just let our listeners have a little bit of an idea about you. Just paint us a little picture about what you do today. Maybe share a story that best shows the impact your coaching and leadership has on people around you.
Absolutely. So I'm Rob Kalvarowski. I'm an executive coach, author, and keynote speaker. As Adam mentioned, my TED Talk, How to Handle a Bad Boss, has over 300,000 views. And I had the privilege of actually doing that TEDx in Japan, where they have very tough workplace cultures. And so that was a real privilege for me. And then, yeah, for right now, I work a lot with tech executives, obviously, this being the CTO podcast. And so what I do typically with them is very in-depth, and we'll get there, one-on-one executive coaching, which works both with the psychology of the leader as well as their team leadership. And I'm known for helping folks make massive transformation quickly and sustaining that growth over years, even after we're done engagement.
Yeah, so that's incredible, isn't it? And that traveling around to different places, I mean, Japan there for the keynote, you've got the, did I say jungle behind you of Costa Rica? So, I mean, traveling around like this, is this something you planned from childhood? Is this where you sort of expected to end up in life?
Not at all. And this is the part, right? So we're going to talk about what's coming out in my new book, Capitalizing on Chaos. And this is the part where the expansiveness and the evolution of going through these transformations leads you to. And the best way I can sort of put this in your mind is, so I'm from Canada. My whole life up to literally 2 years ago, I lived somewhere where there was snow. You know, I'm from Ottawa. I went to college in Boston. I moved out Western Canada to work in mining and then oil and gas. And my whole life, I was like, snow is, don't like it, but it's part of this.
It's just normal.
And yeah, and January 2020, my wife and I, we went to Kauai in Hawaii for her best friend's wedding. And I was walking down the beach and we came up upon one of those Volkswagen buses, like the ones that, you know, like Shaggy from, oh, what's that show again? Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo,
had,
yeah.
You know, that Volkswagen bus, you know, the old school 1980s. And at the back of the bus, they had this box out and it was full of fruit and it said like $1 fruit. The rest of it was just empty. And it hit me, like you look out and you see these people surfing and you're like, oh, these are just some surfer dudes, that this is what they do, is they surf they work some odd jobs, they pick some fruit, and they're just being free. And I had a part in my mind going, Rob, I would love to do this. I would love to experience freedom, get out of that corporate engineering, get out of that, like, you got to perform, you got to make more money, you got to be better, you got to this, you got to that, and just like let it go. And then immediately I have the other side coming in going, Rob, I will never let you do this. And that part is the part had me playing high level water polo, had me making MIT and then eventually graduating, had me in a six-figure engineering job, had me in these things that ultimately were really hurting me. Like I was struggling with depression. I was struggling with anxiety. I was really suffering, but I had this part going, you have to perform because of all the narratives. Like my dad said, well, if you leave engineering, like you just wasted your MIT education, right? Or like, you know, like this whole culture that at least in North America we're raised in is like, do well in school, get into the best college, get that great job, you know.
And climb that corporate ladder, right?
Exactly, right? And it's like, okay, so I had I didn't buy a house, but I was renting, you know, a house in the suburbs. I had my future wife, you know, I had the 1.5, well, I didn't actually have 1.5 kids, but the 1.5 kids, the white picket fence, the golden retriever, and I literally wanted to kill myself. And it was like, that was the debate internally, the chaos internally, when externally everything looked great.
Yeah.
And
so
that's
to the outside, it looked like it was sort of the idyllic life then.
Yeah. And that started my journey because before that, I felt like it wasn't me who needed to change. But that moment, it became so obvious that I needed to change. And that's what sparked the following grow, like leaning into myself and growing, which ultimately led me to TED, to Costa Rica, and now writing the book.
That's a pretty awesome story. I mean, I remember when I was going through something not quite the same. I mean, I was home from work very late one night, going through Hyde Park in London with my little push bike, going underneath these bright lights. And I remember feeling this concept of just never being able to catch up with the shadow. The shadow was always overtaking me, right? How could I possibly keep up with that? And I called it shadow syndrome. I had no name for imposter syndrome at that point, but that's what it felt like. I could never, ever go faster than the shadow. And, you know, that for me was that point where I kind of realized, okay, I've either got to just accept that I'm not going to be able to manage it, or I just got to pedal faster, keep pedaling faster and faster. I mean, at the time, did you have anybody that you were able to lean on, or was it very much sort of an internal closed-in experience for you?
I had a coach at the time, and I was working to try to basically just leave corporate engineering and to start my own one-person engineering company. That was my goal. But I didn't have the adequate psychological help. And it was that which ultimately led me into therapy. And for folks out there, like Adam, your story is exactly like this is the first step in the 4-step system, which we'll get into. But the first step is find your reason. And nobody ever comes to me or this work saying, my life is perfect, so I'm going to get into deep transformation, right? It's always something. And it could be like mine, which was like, you know, mental illness. It could be like Adam's, where it's like you're feeling like, oh shit, I better pedal faster because I need to catch up with, you know, my friend who started his own business in college. Like I had a few guys that lived with me in the frat house at MIT. They started their own company. They're actually 1 year younger than me. They started their own space company and they raised $200 million. And I'm sitting there going, yeah. Right? It's like, okay, so that is not going to be possible for me, but how do I manage this? And then also it's like, the other thoughts that were in my mind, which I've heard from a lot of folks that I've talked to, how can I do this for another 35 years? Or like, is this all life is
about? Is this all there is? Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's like, if you're having any of these thoughts, reach out. I'm obviously open for business. And then later you can get 2 chapters of my book for free, but you can't really do this work on your own.
And so your experience then of having somebody else, two other people by the sounds of it, sort of, was that sort of the beginning of your understanding of what the transformation needed to be then? Was that your sort of your first sort of getting to grips with the idea that there was sort of, I mean, clearly you knew there was somewhere to come away from, but that there was some way, some method in which to go about it?
So I didn't know at the time.
Right.
What I knew was I could not feel the way I was feeling. And I went to therapy, and this is actually where I learned internal family systems, which is these multiple parts that talk to us in our minds.
Right.
So that part that was like, I want to be free and surf. And the part that was like, no, 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 you're the guy who delivers. You're the guy who works hard. You're the guy who reliable Rob, right? That's part of what I do in my coaching now, but that's where I learned how to work with those voices, because we're never told this. Like, we're always told like, oh yeah, you're a mono mind. But then in every movie, it's like devil and angel on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Or like,
it's often portrayed as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, or like the Pixar movie Inside Out. It's like, well, you actually have like these different characters that are driving you at different moments. But then,
you know, that movie was great, because I think that was an opener for a lot of people to kind of realize, okay, it is actually normal and acceptable to have a multitude of different voices, different versions of me at different points in time.
Absolutely. And these were all created to help you. That's the other pivot. Most coaches who teach mindset, they use a version of emotional intelligence or cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically some version of, you have a situation, you're thinking about it incorrectly, and so you'll reframe it, and then you'll put logic against that. So in your case, Adam, it's like, well, you know, I'm actually not an imposter. I'm actually good at my job. And the evidence I'm good at my job is, you know, my last 4 performance reviews have said I've done good things. The data shows that, you know, I'm selling or I'm delivering on KPIs and blah, blah, blah. I always like so just imagine, Adam, you're in a fight with your wife.
Okay.
And your wife starts saying things to you like, Adam, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, whatever. And you're like, honey, you're being very illogical right now. If you were logical, and this is where you're dodging the pots and pans being thrown at
you.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right? But it's like, if you were being logical, you would think this way, and here's the evidence why. How would she respond to that?
Probably with more anger and, pushback, because it's not something that it isn't logical, and also it's not listening either.
And it's the same with your parts.
Yeah.
Like,
so the point is just accept the various different parts of us, listen to them, allow them to have their say. Is it as simple as that?
Pretty much. Like, as a leadership coach, I liken the parts work to leading a team at work. You're just leading a team in your mind. So Dr. Richard Schwartz, who invented internal family systems therapy, was trained as a family systems therapist. And so obviously he was dealing with wives and kids and those type of things and that dynamic. And then he realized doing work with, I think it was actually prisoners, but he was doing some work and he realized that people had parts that were saying the same things and behaving in the same ways. And he was like, well, what if I applied family systems to what's going on here?
Right. So, that's so he made that connection.
It's basically empathy. I mean, you call it compassion because it's for yourself, but it's empathy for the parts inside you and listening. And once you listen and give empathy, then you can move them.
So let's talk a little bit about, so when you were going through that phase of, you know, you figuring out these different aspects, these different voices for you personally, I mean, let's imagine you were back in that stage now. What would it be that you'd be saying to yourself that you would do with your new mindset now?
The first thing is, even the part that was trying to get me to kill myself was trying to help me. It was trying to protect me from future pain or even just big pain in that moment. And that was the hardest one for me to give compassion to obviously. But when I got there, that's when it started to relax. And it's not that it's gone, and it's not that it leaves forever, or in some circles, they're like, well, you have ego death. Like, you do not get ego death. But if those thoughts come into my mind now, it's like, hey, I totally understand. Like, we're having a hard time right now, but I got it. So just chill out. And then it goes away. That's the real thing. It's like, but it's building trust, right? And so it's just like leading a team at work. Like, you're basically dropped into a new team, and most of them, they either feel like they can't trust you, or you haven't been listening for so long, and like those type of things, because you haven't. And so you got to build trust. And that's where I give my clients a 6-minute exercise that they can do every day, where you're just checking in. It's literally like you're walking around the office going, hey, Adam, how you doing? Oh, that's great. You know, I'll talk to you later, right? Like, nothing deep work, but just like keeping your word. You know, if they want to share something with you, you're listening, and then you're just checking in.
Yeah, it's that listening and consistency of turning up for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hearing where it's at. And what comes after that, Rob?
Yeah. So, I mean, first, like, of course, the first step, find your reason, right? So whatever you're thinking about, if it's you want to scale your business, if it's you have imposter syndrome, if it's, you know, you have that nagging feeling of like, is this all life is? Or do I have to do this forever? Like, whatever that is, there's your reason to go on the journey. If everything's smooth and great for you, one is you're probably not listening to the show. But two is, right? Like, then it's not the right time for you.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't need to change right now.
Yeah. And that's totally normal. Like, you probably already went through one, and you're now building, or, you know, maybe you're even going through one, but you just haven't had that moment yet where you're like, oh, I need help. Right? And those things are totally normal. And so you don't have to be on this constant wheel of growth either. Right? So once you found your reason, now it's about finding those parts. And I call it ignite the masks, because it's called the FIRE method. So FIRE.
Cool. Okay. So finding a reason is the F. That's the first one. Ignite your masks. That's the I. That's the second one. What exactly do you mean by ignite? Is it as simple as setting fire to the masks, or is there something slightly more subtle than that?
It's more subtle, but obviously I needed an I word. But this is really that dialogue with those parts that we were just talking about.
So it's acknowledging and listening.
It's the acknowledging, it's the listening. In some cases, you will actually be able to give those parts a new role. And so that part of me that's like the super high achiever, the reliable Rob to keep you in the job, it's like he still does that, but it's more like, put me in, coach, instead of I'm doing this all the time in this way, because if I don't do it, you're going to suffer. And so that's where you get to. But it's really trying to understand what's going on up here. What are the feelings or the things that are holding us back from our true potential? And you'll notice these, either imposter syndrome, or like anytime you feel bad, like if you feel stress or anxiety, or you're mad or you're sad.
I think guilt is another big one, isn't it?
Sorry?
Guilt, I think, is another big one as well, from the people that I'm coaching, when they feel like, you know, that there's something that they're missing, something they haven't done, something they've not been able to achieve or deliver.
Absolutely. It's something that many of us as high achievers feel. Sometimes, this was years ago, but sometimes I was like listening to podcasts, like those top, in 2017, I Googled top entrepreneurship podcasts and I listened to all of them. And I would listen to them and I would be like, I have to implement all of this stuff.
The inferiority complex kicks in hard at that point, I imagine.
Yeah. And my wife was like, Rob, you got to like dial it back, dude.
One step at a time.
Right. And a great assessment for this, it's not, I don't own it, it's not mine, but if you go to positiveintelligence.com, they have a saboteur assessment. It's free. It takes like 5 minutes. But you can take the assessment and it'll give you your scores for like, I think it's 9 saboteurs that are very common.
Right.
These are just parts. And it's a great way to start learning what are the parts that are more dominant for me.
That's a really good one. So we'll put a link to that one in the show notes, I think, at the end of the show, because that's a really good tip to be able to help begin to diagnose all the segments that are coming at you. So once we've ignited the masks then, and we know which ones are which, we know which ones are dominant, and we know which ones are there, how do we go about the next step?
And that's where it's part of the ignite stage, but it's building that trust so they feel comfortable to let you lead.
Right.
And so now you're the manager or the self-leader of your own system. And that's when you'll have this moment. And that moment, we can't predict when it'll happen. But you could be out for a run, you could be in the shower, you could be in a session, like let's say you're doing coaching with me, or you could be anywhere and you'll be like, oh shit, that's me. And you'll sort of, your brain will click that you're at your now next level, or you'll realize who you actually are now that the parts that were in your way are free. And that's why this step is called rapidly transform. It's R, because it happens incredibly fast. And it's that moment of realization. I mean, obviously we add some exercises around that, around, you know, build, what are your core values? What are your strengths? I love the reflected best self exercise for this. Like there's some exercises around this, but while you're doing those exercises or after you're doing those exercises or sometime in that period, you're going to have that moment where you're like, ooh. And that's when you can make big changes in your life. It's going to be like, oh, I dress differently now because this is who I am. Or I moved to Costa Rica because this is who I am. Those type of things.
Right. So it's when it clicks, it allows everything to be able to just settle. So you can make decisions. You've got a level of clarity you didn't have before. And I presume you're lacking the dominance of one of those aspects of you that has sort of fallen away a bit because there's the trust there. So that allows you to literally make a big decision, I guess.
Yeah. And it's not always this crazy thing, right? Like this fall, like I had a book coming out and it was going to be called Antidote for the Asshole Boss. And since October till January, we were pitching it to publishers and we had a publisher and then that deal fell through because they went under. And like, I was like, oh, you know, because it came off the TED and it was like, okay, this makes sense and all these things. And then in January, when I was working on my own, like obviously I left a coaching company and I moved on to my own and things were happening. Like I joined the speaking group so then I could book, basically become more of a professional speaker, like book more gigs and make that more of my business. And we went back to defining, you know, who am I here for? What do I do? What do I speak for? Into very clear steps. And then I had more meetings with, you know, some publishers and some other like book marketing folks. And then I just had this moment one day where it was just like, you know what? This is me now. And it was that step up again. It was like, no. And that's why we rewrote the book, was just purely because it was like, no, this is misaligned. That was who I was, you know, 2 years ago, potentially even last year. And now I'm at this next level. And now this is where I'm going. And that clarity.
So I guess that rapidly transform thing, it's not something that happens once in your life. It's not the moment of enlightenment. It's something that happens evolutionary. So it keeps happening then. I think that's awesome for most people to realize that it isn't just once and done, everything's nirvana after that. And you can, you know, go and relax on your beach with your old rusty VW van and just surf. But so it is something that's like a continuous evolution for you as you come to those rapid moments of change, when you sort of come to accept a new position where you're at.
And it's part of growth, right? And you mentioned it, Adam, right? It's like, we will enter this cycle of growth when we're ready. And even when we're not, like the last step is expand and evolve your leadership. And so this is when you feel clear, you feel confident, you feel like you're able to navigate. And that's when you're not ready to grow again. you are expanding your message. You're leading your team differently. You're leading your business differently. You know, you, especially now, like economically and politically and even technologically, like for the CTOs out there, I mean, most folks are in tech, right? It's like, how do I manage my business now with AI? How do I manage my business now that we've cut a lot of middle managers and we're asking the frontline folks to do more work and lead themselves in a way, because I'm the leader, there's a level below me probably, and then there's a gap where some of the middle managers used to be, and now there's the frontline folks. How do we make sure those folks are leading and aligned to our mission as a company, right? That's hard, and there's a lot of chaos, but as we evolve, that's how we can capitalize on these shifts. That's how we can look at what's happening in AI and go, ooh, I can use this in this way. I can expand it in this way. And we don't, like, ultimately in chaos, if we're in fear, which most people are, we end up in our amygdala. So that's when the fight or flight is activated. Actually, it's technically fight, flight, fawn, and freeze. But basically, we only have access to those things.
Yeah, it's the animalistic instincts effectively, isn't it?
Yeah. And you can't even access your thought, your like frontal lobe, your problem solving, your innovation, your disruption, nothing, right? It's like, I can run, I can hide, right?
But logic's like inaccessible.
Yeah, and you see this, right? You see this with businesses. The first thing that happens is we cut costs. Consultants go out, L&D goes out, art research and development sometimes gets cut, contractors, you know, training, like everyone just cuts, right? And that's a very much like a fight or a flight response.
Yeah.
But if you can access, sorry?
The fear and defense, isn't it?
Yeah. But if you can access yourself, that's a part of you coming in going, hey, Adam, I'm going to protect you. But if you have enough trust, you can let that one go. And that's when you can access your problem solving. And that's when you can create an environment with your team where they can also access that innovation and problem solving. And that's when you get these outcomes like we saw in COVID, where a vodka company started making hand sanitizer. Or one of my clients, they were producing air filters. They figured out how to put an air filter that was HEPA, that's the highest, now it's the highest flow that you can get, also with a UV sanitation light, so then they can guarantee that that air is safe. That's when you can access that level of innovation and disruption. So not only when your competitors are freezing, you're flying and you're capturing market.
Yeah, because I often think about that stage, you know, after you've had that sort of, you know, big transformation, the big moment, you go and start making some changes. I often think of that as almost like a consolidation, but it's kind of moving beyond the consolidation into actually being able to take proactive, thoughtful steps in the direction or the motion that you want to go in, rather than just almost being passive and figuring out where your new reality is.
It is. With the clarity, you will have a North Star and you can walk towards that. And we talk a lot of business on this show, but this is also lifestyle, right? So this is me moving to Costa Rica. Now you in this step may not move to Costa Rica, right? It opened the potential for where before my potential was United States and Canada, and that's it.
Probably somewhere snowy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I kind of moved in the opposite direction. I was living in London and then moved to Edinburgh with my wife. And then we had a look around and we thought, well, why not Sweden? So we had a look at two jobs in Sweden and we moved to Sweden about 6 years ago to join a startup here. So we were definitely going towards the chaos at that point. That's for sure. Yeah, but that was how we began on this journey. It was also that kind of same moment of clarity of, oh goodness, we could do this. And this is after a startup had imploded, right? So it's never a fun time. But it was looking for the opportunities beyond that. And then again, we had another moment after our, so I was working at the startup here in Gothenburg for, 3.5 years, 4 years. And there was an opportunity. It came out of some difficult times, but it was an opportunity. And we both went like, well, why not? I think it's that kind of, that moment, that sort of transformation moment of, well, why not? Let's just try it. Let's give it a go. Let's see what happens. And now we're in a sort of very different place and trying to figure out all the things we could do with it, much like you're saying. So it's sort of finding a new way. So, I mean, it's great. I think if we try and just summarize then. So the first step in your process is find your reason, which by the time most people get to the point of thinking, I need some coaching, they've probably got their reason. It may be a negative reason to escape something, but it's a reason. Ignite the masks with the eye in fire. So acknowledging all the different aspects and facets of us, listening to those, giving them airtime. And then there's that moment, the finger snap, as you put it, the rapid transformation when suddenly things become clear. That's the R. And then the E is the expand and evolve. So the sort of the biggest mindset shift that you're going to enable to do now because things are not in your way and you've got a clarity of a vision. Is it as simple as that, Rob?
It's as simple as that and as difficult as that.
Yeah, simple is never easy, but simple is beautifully clear to be able to explain it to somebody else. I think it's a wonderful playbook there, Rob. If you were to give, I don't know, just one or two actions to a CTO who's listening to the show today, who wants to start transforming, they know, you know, where they want to go, they've got their reason, but they're feeling that, you know, the imbalance, they're sort of stuck. What would be the one or two things you would say to them?
First thing is just reach out, right? Happy to be here. You can find me, robkalvarowski.com. Also, if you want to check out the first two chapters of my book, robkalvarowski.com/book, you just put your email in and it'll send you the first two chapters. You can kind of understand what that looks like in a bigger context. But ultimately where you are, if you're thinking about it, is probably you have a reason. And so I would just sit somewhere quiet, and just think about it for 15, 20 minutes, right? What isn't working for you? What is working for you? And then ultimately, what do you want to change? Because that'll give you that reason. And then that's when you can make the call.
Cool. So focus on the reason is the very first step. But crucially, I think that's a really good point, is reach out for help, because these transformations are not easy. And having somebody to guide you through that process is kind of essential, really.
Yeah. Like even myself, right? Like I do this work for a living and I still have folks that help me with igniting the masks. Like I go to therapy, I have folks in my life, 3 or 4 of them that are experts in doing this too. And this is where you can do the work on yourself. Like I do it. I do the check-ins every day. I give my clients a 6-minute track where they can do that. That's part of what we do. But for some of the deeper stuff, having a guide with you makes it incredibly easier. And also it helps you get deeper because they also have a different point of view that you can't access sometimes. And so that gives you that space. So then you can transform more quickly.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the key things because it's your journey, but it kind of does take a village. And often saying that networking, having people around you, knowing the right folks to lean on for help is fairly crucial. And I always say, you're building your own playbook. It's your growth, it's your leadership, it's your style. And it's okay if it looks like nobody else's. But at the end of the day, the reason it looks like nobody else's is because it's going to be a piece of you and it's going to be a piece of the other people who are around you supporting and helping you on that journey.
That's 100% true, right? And that's part of that. Once you're clear, like once you've rapidly transformed and you now have this clearer version of who you now are, as part of that expansion and that evolution, you're going to step up. And this takes time, right? But you'll step up to that new level of homeostasis, right? Your previous version was a bit lower, now you're a bit higher, right? And so that's going to, include changing some of the relationships with the people around you, maybe getting new relationships. Often it can feel very lonely because you're like, well, my community, they think this way, and now I think this way. I got to actually find different people. So having somebody there that's can help you also is great, because like, especially like for me, I connect my clients to other people that I know, because that's the point. Like, that's part of my service, I think. Like, I meet a lot of people and I think it's very helpful, but it's like, you'll want to find people who are supporting you and who think at that new level.
Yeah. And so, and re-entering to a new community is, it takes time and it takes work.
Absolutely.
And it's always helpful if you've got somebody to guide you through that process too. Rob, you mentioned that the website where people can download the book from, at least the first two chapters. When is the book actually available?
In September.
In September. So we've only got a few months to wait now then.
Yeah. So if you download the first two chapters, we will let you know when the pre-sale opens. And so you'll be welcome to buy it, of course. And if you want to buy a bunch, like bulk orders for your team, we'll let you know too. And that'll come with some bonuses. Either you can have me virtually or on site or those type of things. Adam, I did want to ask you, right, is you mentioned that you're trying to find that new level of what's next for you. Do you want to tell me more?
Yeah, sure. I mean, from my sort of practice at the moment, I've been coaching a lot of people, a lot of CTOs, a lot of tech leaders, product leaders, one-to-one. And I've been thinking, how can I actually help more people at a time? How can I get to the point where I can actually multiply the impact that I'm having? So yes, my wife and I have been working on something which is not quite ready for announcing yet, but we're working on it and getting there. And the intention is really to be able to help more people at a time to get to that next level up. And it was really because I realized that I'm sort of running from pillar to post and helping people, but it's like, in order to be able to help even more, there's something else. So it's not just a case of doing more, doing faster, keep running. You know, that voice, like you're saying, just keep running and you can keep doing it. And sort of had to realize I had to take a step back and go, hang on, I need to look at this differently. I need to take a different perspective on this. And so that's what we did. And so getting fairly close now, hopefully in the next couple of days, we'll have the foundations in place. We'll be able to start announcing it, because I'm actually really excited about it. Because it was one of those moments when you sort of realize, okay, this has got to change. It's got to go differently. And then when we sort of figured out, okay, our superpower comes when we work together, you know, as a husband and wife team, really coordinating that, then we sort of clocked, okay, this is going to take a different approach. And so, yeah, so we're really putting that together soon. But it was that moment of sort of figuring it out, talking to a bunch of people and going, okay, actually, this really could work. And it was a bit like you say, where you suddenly go, I don't know, I think like a meerkat, you know, and you suddenly look up above the rocks and you can see around all over the place and thinking, why didn't I look out here before? The view's different from here.
It's amazing. I look forward to hearing more about it.
I'm excited to say it. I've got to keep my mouth shut on anything. But yeah, no, we'll sign up for it coming shortly. So Rob, where's the best place for people to connect with you, to find you directly? Is it LinkedIn or something like that?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's where I'm most active. So obviously Rob Kalvarowski on LinkedIn, I'm sure it's in the podcast notes. And then on my website, you can learn more about my coaching and speaking. And yeah, that's robkalvarowski.com. And obviously, if you hit the tab for the book, you can put in your email and get the first two chapters for free.
Thank you, Rob. Such a powerful conversation today. So much fun. Not just about frameworks either, but about the really sort of, I don't know, messy, meaningful human bit of figuring out leadership and where we're going. Wonderful to speak to you today. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Thank you very much for listening all the way through to the end. Just before you go, I'd like to ask you for one thing in return for putting together all these episodes of the CTO Playbook podcast for you. Please leave a review. Wherever you are listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you're on, leaving a quick review will help more CTOs find the podcast and enable me to create more great episodes. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the CTO Playbook.